Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, February 20th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in There is a Solution on page 20, and we're reading the fourth paragraph, beginning with, now these are commonplace observations. Through the end of that paragraph, ending with, are very different from ours. We are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Mary Frances W., reading the 12 steps, Claudia C., reading the 12 traditions, Janice P.M. is going to be reading the text, Debbie W. will read page 164, and Dion R. is our backup. Newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Jody E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, February 19th, 2026, for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is, oh my gosh, I can't read my notes. It's 23,225 or 23,225. And for the today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,227 or 23,227. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Mary Frances W. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Mary Frances.
Good morning, Stephanie. This is Mary Frances W., a grateful recovering compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary Frances W. We'll now ask Claudia C. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Claudia.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is Claudia C. from Los Angeles, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends an OA unit. Two, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Each group should be autonomous, except in that of affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has one, but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, with problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much for letting me serve, and I pass.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Claudia C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in the chapter, There is a Solution. We're on page 20, the fourth full paragraph beginning with, now, these are commonplace observations, ending with, are very different from ours. We are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning, and we'll now ask Janice PM to please get us started. Good morning, Janice.
And so good morning to you, Stephanie O, and everybody that's here listening, yes, and participating. My name is Janice PM, and I live in Massachusetts, and I am a grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Okay, paragraph 4 in our Big Book. Now, these are commonplace observations on drinkers, which we hear all the time. Back of them is a world of ignorance and misunderstanding. We see that these expressions refer to people whose reactions are very different from ours. Oh, short paragraph, big meaning. The more I read it, the more I get more spiritual and get more understanding. Well, what do they say? These commonplace observations on drinkers, on compulsive overeaters, they're observations. They're not judgments, because they see. My husband saw what I did over and over and over again. He would make a pan of gravy for our spaghetti and meatballs, and I would say, oh, let me taste the meatball. He said, can't you just wait until we sit down to eat our dinner or whatever it was? I said, no, I can't. Well, he couldn't understand that, because he didn't have that experience of my problem. he thought, you know, all these circumstances, all these observations in the previous paragraph, that I could do something about my problem. Of course, I thought I could too. But, you know, once I said, I'm going to go to OA, especially a vision for you, and I will get help. Now, yeah, sure, I didn't really want to get help. I just wanted you to give me help with stopping eating compulsively in certain foods. No, you told me that, but I didn't understand that. Yeah, I could observe and hear people in the program say, you know, I don't eat donuts anymore. Well, I used to say, yeah, well, I can stop, you know, I'll eat a donut, or I can stop eating donuts. But my problem was my experience. I didn't accept the fact that I really had a problem of once I put that bite in my mouth, just a bite, it set up a trigger for more. And, of course, we know that you people taught me, the big book taught me, that, I didn't know myself. Ignorance. Yeah, my husband was ignorant. He didn't know. He had no knowledge of my disease. And neither did these other people. Neither did I. I didn't even know my problem. I thought, geez, well, you know, things get better. I'll stop when I retire. I had all kinds of rationalization and justification. But nobody understood that when I picked up that certain trigger food of mine, we all have our own, all right? Mine was never asparagus. That I would never even touch it because I hate it. So you see, that wouldn't trigger me, but certain foods did trigger that compulsion in my body. My reactions to my physical problem with certain foods, we call it here, yeah, okay, but we could call it an allergy, we can call it the phenomenon of craving. Why do I get that craving? Gee, people get cravings and they stop. Yes, thank you so much. So my reactions to certain foods were so different, and I will pass. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much, Janice P.M., for getting us started. And we are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday on any of the Vision meetings, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share too. I'll remind you when your time is up. So if you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Michaela in Canada.
Michaela. What's your last initial, Michaela?
J.
J. Gotcha. Who else would like to share? We got lots of time. Quiet group this morning. Star one to unmute.
W.
Diane B. New York.
Debbie W. Where are you calling from, Debbie?
California.
California. And then who was that? Someone was right after Debbie.
Diane B. New York.
Got you, Diane.
Echo F, New York.
Is that Echo F?
E-I-K-O, yes.
Okay, and which, and you're from New York also, okay.
F at New York.
And that's S as in Sam or F as in Frank?
Frank.
Okay, let's get screwed up with those S's, F's and S's. All right.
Laura and W, you know? From Chicago.
DL from Indiana.
Got you, Laura. DL from Indiana. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Jordan L.
Hey, Jordan, got you from Colorado. And do we have anyone else who wants to get in on this first lineup? Okay, this is a great first lineup. I've got Michaela J., Debbie W., Diane B., Echo F., Laura W., DL, and Jordan L. We're going to go ahead and start with Michaela, followed by Debbie. Good morning, Michaela.
Morning, everybody. It's Michaela, recovered compulsive overeater in Canada. Thank you, Stephanie, and thank you, everybody else, for giving service, and welcome to any newcomers or anyone coming back. You know, how I look at this is, you know, how could others possibly understand when I didn't understand myself why I couldn't stop or I couldn't just have one, or, you know, like in the previous paragraphs where I tried all the mental gymnastics and everything else just to try and, you know, show myself that I could eat and just have one rather than the whole packet. You know, I didn't know I was a distinct entity with, you know, a mental obsession and a physical allergy. I tried every which way to control my eating, as everybody, you know, suggested. You know, I heard all the comments, you know, just eat a slice, you're getting so chunky, your legs are rubbing together, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I didn't know what I didn't know, right? But, you know, today I know the fact is that I'm a real compulsive overeater. I do not react like other people. You know, once I got and understood the correct information, again, life to God, there was a solution. Right. And, you know, today, you know, it goes the other way. People are like, oh, come on, you can just have a bit. And I just say, I could, but I choose not to, as it doesn't agree with my body. But yes, you know, having the correct information is everything, you know, to truly understand that once it goes into my mouth, everything goes right. I've completely lost control. But obviously leading up to that before then is, you know, the mental obsession that convinces me it's a really good idea to pick up that substance and that this time it will be different. And I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michaela J. from Canada. Next, we've got Debbie W. followed by Diane B. Hey, Debbie.
Good morning, Stephanie. This is Debbie W., currently in California, but moving to Oregon. And I just have to agree with the previous person that shared. I didn't know what my problem was. I mean, if a diet couldn't fix it, what could fix it? And then my friend invited me to go to the OA birthday party in January of 2023. I thought, oh yeah, sure, I'll go. Oh my gosh. It was magical. It was electric. It was, I couldn't figure it out, but I sure wanted it. So I got a sponsor. I started working the steps. I live in the steps, and my God is everything. I finally learned how to totally surrender. I couldn't learn that before I did the steps. And I'm just so thankful for this program, and I'm thankful to be here. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Debbie W. from California. Next, we've got Diane B. followed by Echo F. Good morning again. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone on the line. Thank you for all who give service to make this meeting possible. And thank you, Janice PM, for an amazing introduction. So, you know, it talks about these are observations on drinkers, which we hear all the time, and they're referring back to the previous paragraph. I can take it or leave it alone. Why can't he, you know, why can't he drink like a gentleman and quit and all those things? And I even remember telling people, I used to smoke cigarettes also, and I remember telling people, like, I don't have an addictive personality. I can quit anytime I want. I never knew that the food, my weight issue and my food issues were a disease or an addiction. In fact, even it took me years, even in the rooms, to really understand that this really is a disease and that this is an addiction. And once I start eating certain foods, I can't stop. You know, and I heard all of it when I was growing up. Oh, you have such a pretty face. If only you'd lose some weight. Boys won't want to go out with you. You know, all these things, my pants, my thighs rubbing and my pants, you know, falling apart on my inner thighs, all those things. Nothing like that. Nothing could help me. Any of those things would not help me, you know. And I always thought that I had willpower. And I have to tell you, I do have willpower. I just don't have any power over the disease. I need the higher power for that. You know, people just didn't understand, and I didn't understand it either. You know, that's the thing. And even today, I still see people, you know, hear people say things like, oh, just, you know, it's your birthday, have a piece of cake or whatever, or just take a bite or take a sip of this, you know. And I'm like, no, I can't do that. And they're like, well, of course you can just have one. I'm like, no, I can't just have one. You know, I feel like that potato chip commercial, bet you can't eat just one, because I can't. And that's the truth for me. So, you know, I love coming to this meeting because I hear so many wonderful things. I hear everybody's experience, strength, and hope, and that is quite amazing and helps me keep going. You know, I wasn't able to surrender to this program, but someone told me just to cooperate. Cooperate with your sponsor. Cooperate with what you hear in the meetings. Cooperate with what the big book is saying. And I can cooperate, you know. I can do that. I just had a really hard time surrendering. And even today, sometimes I don't want to, but I do because I know I need to. And, you know, I need to do that, all the steps every day. So thank you for allowing me to share. With that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you so much, Diane B. from New York. Next, we've got Echo F., followed by Laura W. Good morning, Echo.
Yes, hello. Thank you very much for your service and for the shares I've heard so far. And I'm Echo from Brooklyn, New York. I have been turning my food over to my food sponsor and then not being able to keep to the plan past couple of days. And it seems like I don't take into account what I have to do at a certain time. I mean, I'm making a food plan as what, you know, based on what I have in my refrigerator, but then I forget to take into account that I'm going to be out and may have to eat out in the past couple of days. And then my schedule also has been a little erratic. Like last night, I was helping out at my church with their book sale and came home around 10 and realized we had these TV dinners in the freezer that were easier to heat up than to cook something. So I just ate a bowl of something that I'm not exactly sure what it had in it, but it tasted good. And I don't know, it's just been hard to keep through the food plan. So any guidance with that, I would appreciate very much. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Echo F. Keep coming back. Let's see. Next, we've got Laura W., followed by DL. Good morning, Laura.
Hi, can you hear me? That's Laura W. Sorry.
We can hear you, Laura. You're
good. I didn't realize I was next. Okay. Hi, everybody. Laura W. from Chicago. I am a compulsive eater, and I am, I'm not sure, a couple days abstinent after a relapse, and I am, this paragraph really strikes me because what I'm really working on is the honesty about my trigger foods and my trigger behaviors, and I really need to surrender to the idea that I cannot put certain foods in my I can put certain foods in my body, and I can get away with it for a while. But this disease is so subtle. This just the underlying nagging at my brain that just have a little more. You did it last week, and you stopped. I mean, it's so crazy. Trying to figure out, is it more of a behavior or is it more of a substance that I can't eat? And the truth is, I need to put them both down for now, the behavior and the substance. And I have to do that for today, and that's all. And maybe I have to do it for today every day, but I'm not going to think about that. There is no doubt that there are people that can handle certain foods that I cannot. And I won't know it the first time I eat it, and I won't know it the second. I may not know it for a month. And then, bam, I'm gone. So I'm just so happy that I heard this paragraph today, and I'm back sharing on the line, and just happy to be here. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you so much. Laura W. from Chicago. Next, we've got DL, followed by Jordan L. Good morning, D.
Could you tell me where we are, please?
Yes, we're on page 20, the fourth paragraph, beginning with, now these are commonplace observations, ending with, whose reactions are very different from ours. And DL, are you unmuted?
I am now. This is DL. Sorry about that. You know, I think it's just so amazing. We don't know what we don't know. And, you know, I was wondering why I was so different than anybody else, because I just ate what everybody else ate, well, maybe a little more. And it seemed like, you know, a moment on the lips, it was 2 inches on the hips. I don't know if anybody ever thought of that one, but, you know, I knew that I had a hand-to-mouth disease, but, you know, that's what I would call it. But I really didn't know how to do it. I tried all the diet things, and I lost the weight, but I couldn't keep it off because those old habits would creep back. And, you know, it is really an allergy of the body and a twist of the mind. And, you know, when I first heard that, I thought, oh, that's just out. But I really do believe it now, though sometimes I still rebel at picking up the solutions, which is laid out here in the big book for us. You know, and people do, they don't understand addiction. You know, they can't see why one bite would hurt you. And that's our allergy. And then, you know, this is where I have my most trouble, is that twist of the mind. Because I want to believe that I'm working a really strong program. But if I have those, you know, when that twist of the mind, which is a dis-ease, I'm uncomfortable about something and I'm having all those food thoughts, then I know I'm not really working the program, not totally surrendering. And, you know, I think that that's just a great reminder that we keep having to tell each other. And I thank everyone for all their shares, and that I have a opportunity to, you know, do service myself. So this is DL, and thanks again for everyone.
Thank you so much, DL from Indiana. Next, we've got Jordan L. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. Thanks for moderating this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, where it is blizzarding, thank goodness. And I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. So these expressions refer to people whose reactions are very different from ours. It's really important to have an understanding of that. The people who are saying the expressions from the previous paragraph and the ones that they're talking about, they don't react in the same way that the real compulsive overeater reacts. So the people who are saying these things and the people that they're saying these things about, they're not experiencing the same thing that I experience when I ingest certain foods. It starts with the physical reaction, right? The physiological thing that occurs when I ingest, I call them my alcoholic foods. And so the people who are saying these things, they just don't get it. Like, they've never experienced what I've experienced, you know? The primary expression that comes to mind is, oh, have just one cookie or brownie or whatever it is. I have never had just one ever. Not once in my entire life have I ever had just one of my alcoholic foods. So I need to accept that, you know, like I need to accept what it is that the paragraph is talking about here. That these expressions are never going to apply to me. As one of the previous shares talked about, I am a distinct entity. I need to understand that. And it's wild because I heard all these expressions my whole life by well-meaning people that were trying to help, you know, like they didn't understand it, but they were trying to help. And it really contributes to that mental obsession, that someday, somehow, I'm going to be able to eat just one. And it continues, you know, it keeps me going, trying to make that happen for years and years and years, trying to have just one. So when I get here to Overeaters Anonymous and I accept this knowledge that these expressions refer to someone who's not experiencing the reaction that I'm experiencing, that I'm a distinct entity, that I need to start listening to other compulsive overeaters, to real compulsive overeaters, and start doing the work. So thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. from Colorado. And let me just take a moment before I get another lineup to remind you where we're at. We are in, there is a solution on page 20. We read the fourth paragraph beginning with now, these are commonplace observations, ending with are very different from ours. And so we read that one paragraph and that's what we are sharing on today. If you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Ann B, California.
Oh, I heard Ann B.
Paul R.
Paul R. Where are you calling from, Paul?
I'm from California.
California. And Ann, where are you from?
Pam B. from California.
Oh, Pam B. I'm so sorry. Okay, got you, Pam from California. And I think I heard Jackie and, W, is that correct?
Yeah, Jackie D. And from Pennsylvania.
Oh, Jackie D. from Pennsylvania.
D?
Okay.
Yeah, you got it.
Gotcha.
Jody E.
Patty S. from Massachusetts.
Got you, Jody. And
no,
Patty. Who is from Massachusetts?
Oh, Patty F.
Patty F is in Frank?
Yes.
Okay, great. And I think we might be able to get one more in. Possibly. But we can stop here and see how it goes.
Dion R.
Okay. Dion R. We'll try and get you in, Dion. All right. I have Pam B., Paul R., Jackie D., Jody E., Patty F., and Dion R. We'll start with Pam B., followed by Paul R. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, fellows. Thank you. I'm a compulsive overeater. My name is Pam B. from California. And my thoughts are of my experience with this. And, you know, I have had so many day ones, and those ended up being the greatest gift to convince me that I have this disease and it's not going away. So where I would get stuck and when I saw this, I what I would do is I would work the steps, because my disease progressed in the program while working the steps. So I'd work the steps and did it, you know, the best I could. And I think I was a good little student and did what I was told. And then I'd even sponsor, and then I would pick up, and I would have to fire the sponsee and then go through it again. Did it again and again and again. And what happened was I saw that I feel like God showed me, so I'm working the steps, and it was like, you're going to have this till you die. And so what I would think in my mind, so maybe someone's going through this, I thought that if I worked the steps really hard, because I could get free, I could get food neutrality and be free, and then I would be surprised by the food chatter and think, oh, not working it, and give in to the compulsion and binge. And I am just really grateful that I have this understanding now through working the steps, reading the book, listening to you guys, that it's just not going away. And there's a surrender in that. And for the most part, the cravings aren't there. I mean, gone, disappeared. But when they do come up, it's an opportunity for me to do the first, second, and third steps. I mean, I can go back to it, and I don't. Anyway, by the power of God, I don't have to eat. And really grateful for that. Oh, a quote I wanted to share that I heard recently is the liquor is quicker, but the food is slicker. And man, is it slick. I mean, wow. Just baffling. And then the whole idea is when I hear my head say, this time, this food, this place, this way, I can eat. It starts in my head with just this. So anyway, it is slick, and I'm grateful to be here. I'm glad I'm not alone, and I am a real compulsive overeater. Thank you. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Pam B. from California. Next, we've got Paul R., followed by Jackie B. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, everyone. This is Paul R. from California and Rio, compulsive overeater. I love reminding myself because I forget. I actually really forget, and we are about to read that like in a couple of days. And I love this sections. I love the whole like chapters, but this section is just so important for me to understand, because it was taking like 3 years to understand like what's. How am I bodily and mentally, but most importantly mentally, because the bodily did not kick or do not kick in until the mental precedes me and kind of drives me there, that I want what I want, and I will get it, and I don't care what you do and think. You know, it takes what it takes. It really, I have this new abstinence with 45 days, and it takes what it takes. And then if you're out there struggling, you know, just keep coming back and just don't give up on yourself. Because at one time you will have a surrender that it just comes. You cannot rush it. I couldn't rush it. I wanted what other men and women has in this line. I heard that in their voice that they just all in. You are out in the line right now. A lot of you admire, and I want what you have in recovery. And now I do work harder for it, and I have a surrender that I hadn't had before. You know, and today I'm remain teachable. I'm remain and willing to be sponsorable, and do what my sponsor asks without any reservation. Because I want to have a recovery. I want to feel and I want to stop. I want to cease fight everything and everyone. Actually, food. Because today I can go all about my three meals, and I'm not gonna think about it between. You know, it's not my problem. It's my sponsor and God's problem, and God is, and my sponsor is taking good care of me today. You know, my weight is the same, because I can be so mentally dysfunctional and mentally disorderly about my weight, how I perceive myself in the mirror. That's also, and what's the numbers on the scale? It's not my problem. It's my sponsor's problem. And, you know, it's those numbers. It's not just none of my business. And I can leave it alone today. And that's just because it's the trust of the Alcoholics Anonymous. I actually surrendered to, like, okay, hey, tell me what to do. I am open and I am ready. And, you know, it's just, and thanks for letting me to share. Love you. Bye.
Thank you so much, Paul R. from California. Next, we've got Jackie B., followed by Jody E. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, everybody. I would like to say, first of all, that I'm so grateful for these life-saving meetings. I just could never express my gratitude. And I know I'm battling a super, super vicious disease that will do anything to get me back so it can kill me. And this was a great reading for me. It reminded me of the multiple times over the last 40 years that for people-pleasing's sake, for the sake of community and love and appreciation, I took that one bite or that one piece, always in fellowship, always because, you know, it was offered in love. And it always resulted in multiple years. You know, we've all heard it, like the 70-pound bite, every single time. Every single time. And I so struggled to get a way to make people understand. And I tried countless things, you know. And I think I found something that really worked. In situations where, you know, people don't need to know my whole history. They don't need to know about my disease. I've learned that if I say, oh, it looks like it tastes so good. I'm sure it would taste so good. I love the taste of that. But once I ingest it, it makes me so sick. And usually they won't say, oh, we'll have some anyway. They'll let it go. And for me, just finding that was magic. I wanted to share it in case it could help anybody else. And if they do push and say, oh, just a little tiny bite, I say, yeah, but what for? I would just be torturing myself. If it tastes that good, a little tiny bite's just going to be a tease. And I'm just so grateful that I have that sort of defense against my biggest weakness, which is people pleasing. So thank you for letting me share, and I'm so grateful for all of you.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Jackie D. from Pennsylvania. Next, we've got Jody E., followed by Patty F. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Stephanie, and good morning, everyone on the line. My name is Jody E., and I'm a very grateful recovered anorexic and bulimic. And I wanted to speak up because as an anorexic bulimic, when I walked into my first OA meeting, my weight was normal. It was just fine. And no one in my family, no one even in OA understood what I was doing there. That was 38 years ago. And I have kept coming back all of those years because I have a real problem. I am a real compulsive overeater. I have the allergy of the body. I have the obsession of the mind. But it's not obvious to people necessarily by looking at me. So even my family, after all these years of me abstaining, still urge me to have dessert. Just last night, I was at dinner with my stepmother and my brother-in-law. We were celebrating my birthday, and, you know, they looked at me, dessert time comes around, and you know, they're still trying to get me to eat it. My husband of 29 years tried to get me to eat all those years. He could never understand. He could never accept that abstaining from sugar, from flour, from my alcoholic foods was a good idea. So we who are of a normal weight or maybe underweight or barely overweight, we have a special challenge to try to explain this both to ourselves and certainly to others, because they do not understand. So how are we to recover? The same way everyone else does in this program, by working the steps and by getting into the middle of the herd, getting together with other anorexics, bulimics, compulsive overeaters who share my compulsion, because it's only we who understand each other. And thank God we do. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Jody E. from California. Next, we've got Patty F., and I don't think we'll get to you, DNR, but we'll see how it goes. Go ahead, Patty. Good morning.
Hi, this is Patty F. from Massachusetts. I haven't shared on this meeting, so I'm kind of nervous, but I like the saying, came for the vanity, stayed for the sanity. I need my brain to be washed. I don't think the way other people think. I was on the way home from going out with my brother and sister-in-law to breakfast, and you know, my sister-in-law said, "Oh, you have so much willpower." And it's not; it's God. It's, you know, and I don't always know who God is or any of that. But you know, I was suggested that, you know, I start, you know, just thinking about it, maybe looking into what different people believe. You know, I was weighing myself 2 to 3 times a day. And I have to learn that I'm responsible for my abstinence, not my husband, not anybody. That means I have to go shopping, grocery shopping with him. I have to cut up the vegetables or whatever else and weigh them. And when I make out my food plan, I need to go and look and see if I have that amount. So I'm not changing my food plan all the time. I didn't even know how to stir fry a meal, or, you know, I just let my husband do it. And he doesn't always know what I can have and what I can't have. I need to go by what the other names for sugar are besides just, you know, sugar. And I don't know exactly what he puts in things, so the more I cook of my own, the safer I'll be. And my sponsor told me to write down 20 things that I could do when I have a craving, and to look at that before I eat it. you know, I don't always like what I eat. And different people, I think it helps, you know, if you like what you're eating. You know, it's not for people who want it or need it, it's for people who do it. So I just have to put in the work and hope we get the results. So thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Patty F. from Massachusetts. And that brings us to the end. So we will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And W.W., can you please read A Vision for You?
W.W. here, ready to read 164, and it just flew away from me. Here we go.
Go for it.
Okay.
Go for it.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with God is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.